This is 2.5 Bears on 720 WGN.
Hamp Cause, Pete McMurray. We're here until midnight. Bears beat the Cowboys 45-21. They're tied for first place now with the Lions. Of course, the Lions have the tiebreaker because they swept us this season.
Yeah, but listen, you look at here's the tough part for as we look at this, and you know it's really up to the Lions to be the Lions moving forward, and you got to take care of your business because you're not going to get in as a wild card. That's just not going to happen with New Orleans and Carolina with their schedules. But the thing about it is the Lions are indoors. But they have games that are still – most of the teams they're playing with the exception of – actually, I take it back. The Giants and Minnesota are going to just play it out. But the Ravens, here's your best chance to take the lead on them, I think, is next Monday night against the Ravens. The Ravens have to win that game.
You know, the Lions –
they both need it.
I was on the field and looked at the Lions when they were warming up and looking at their – you know, their linemen and their backs. They've got a very talented squad. I don't know – if I could trade rosters with any team, it may be the Detroit Lions. They've got a lot of talent, but they play with such breathtaking carelessness.
Oh yeah,
and just ridiculous penalties. They've had 20 turnovers the last 2 weeks. Think about that, Cos. They have turned the ball over 20. Now they haven't turned it over. They've had 20 fumbles and interceptions total the last 2 weeks. They haven't lost them all, but at the end of the day. That is our best hope and prayer is they continue to play the way they have the last 2 weeks. And this is, hey, crunch time. This isn't September. I mean,
right,
you know,
yeah,
we're talking stretch run. So we've got a chance.
Well, you both played for Coach Ditka. His jersey was retired at halftime. We're going to play Ditka's speech, and then we'll have you guys comment. Go ahead.
I can say thank you, thank you, thank you the whole night. And I would never be able to thank this city, this organization, for the opportunities that I've had. I came here in 1961, and I came back in 1985. Both times, Mr. Hallis brought me back. I'm forever indebted to the organization. It's been a heck of a run, guys. But I'll tell you one thing I've learned. This is a great city. These are the best fans in the world. And I thank you so much for your support. I've been living a dream for 74 years. I hope it never stops. It will, but I hope it doesn't. Well, you people have been a big part of my dream because you brought me great joy to be able to please you. The players we had in 1985 are the greatest collection of guys I've ever been around. My teammates in 1963, what a great bunch of guys. That was Coach Hallis' last championship. And I'm very proud to be a part of that team and what those guys accomplished. But I could go on, but I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, and go Bears!
That was Ditka at halftime. Hamp, we'll start with you. He recognized the 85 team.
No, he's a sweetheart. And he realizes that, you know, a lot of what he has been able to accomplish was because of the fact that he was on great teams. You know, that 63 team with you know, all those legendary Chicago Bear players that we grew up in over the years. Cos, you and I, we've gotten to meet a lot of them. But, you know, they're larger than life. They were the reason why, you know, we got the moniker of the Monsters of the Midway. And then, of course, the 85 team, what can you say? You know, everybody knows, hey, pretty good group. And I thought he did a great job with his remarks. But I really felt like he wanted to say at the very end, and remember, wine is on sale this Christmas holiday, and sausage is a big family favorite.
And sausage.
Tacos.
Yeah, no, but, right, you know, wouldn't that have been priceless?
Right?
And if you need diamonds.
New York diamonds.
Or a flu shot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, but, hey, Cos, you know, I mean, every day, and I got to tell you, you know, I've had a bunch of great, bizarre coaches in my life, and it was always, but there was nothing like going to work every day and not knowing what in the hell was going to happen. Something was, you know, I mean, one day he's telling Willie Gauld, hey, I'm a man, you're a man, let's step outside. He wants to whip Willie's butt. And the next day, you know, he's screaming at, you know, the trainer because, you know, somebody's not on the injury. Every day was just another player because he,
you know, you're a nice guy, but I don't need nice guys. I can find a lot of nice guys. I need football players.
But all in all, I don't know if you guys realize it, but you know, in those moments, I mean, you know, it's kind of like a, you know, a finite period that you got to say what you want to say. And I thought he did a brilliant job.
Yeah, I would agree. He's, you know, listen, he has become what he's become because he always understands the moment and he lifts and gets everybody to reach and do their best. I mean, it's just, that's the gift that he has. If you think about it, he bookends the championships. 63 was Hallis's.
Yeah, it was,
and then
at the beginning.
Ekka wins it in 85, and now they close the chapter of retired jerseys and everything else. Well, it was a nice way to full circle the Chicago Bears and what it meant to the National Football League.
There's no question that on the stage of life, he will never win Best Supporting Actor.
No.
He is the star.
Oh, and
he
listen,
is. He always has been.
Here's the funny part. Dad, we can talk about it. You knew on Fridays what time his tea time was by how quickly he got through meetings and practice, right?
I mean,
and we could all count on the fact that we're going to have plenty of sunlight to play golf because Dicka was the first guy out the door to go play.
I mean, I'll never forget one day he comes into the meeting room. He's screaming at us, you bums. Yeah, you're too worried about doing these little tire commercials and this and that. But we get out and practice. The last drill, you know, Team Thud, we're going through it. Where's Ditka? Oh, he had to go do a commercial. The day that he got on us about it, he missed the last part of it. But, you know, it was, he wanted to have fun. And you work hard, and he said, hey.
Play harder.
You can play hard, too. And all I know is, you know, how lucky were we all, cause that we got a chance to be a part of that. I mean, it's, you know, and everybody says, you know, do you miss playing? And unequivocally, I say, no, I don't. Because when you can't play anymore, you know it in your heart and you know it's over. But I do miss, you know, certain things. I miss the Saturday night when, say, we're on the road, we're in a hotel over in Detroit getting ready, you know, after we would have a team dinner and then a meeting, and Dicker would come in and he'd go through about a little 5-6-7 minute dissertation about what we had to accomplish the next day. And he would basically call it the way it was. And I wish to this day that I would have recorded some of those because they were priceless. And, you know, those moments, you know, the weeks they fly by, but those Saturday nights in the hotel when he would kind of, you know, set out the master plan, and you know what, by gosh, we executed an awful lot of them.
And here's the other thing too, and this is one of the things in Minnesota when Saturday Night Live started imitating him, and that when he called Santa Claus a sissy, right? The guy was imitating Dick, and
right,
you're a sissy, Santa Claus. The roar, because I had just stepped out of my room, and the roar down the hallway of laughter from everybody on the team, roaring laughter from the rooms watching that skit, just dying laughing.
And think about like. You're on a football team that now one of the major shows in the entire nation is, you know, parodying. And I mean, to be a part of that, it's hard to describe it.
And it wasn't just one time. They did it so often that it caught on nationally. And now look, they're doing commercials this year.
Oh yeah. Well, he's everything. But
double check.
Yeah. Here's the thing that you got to go back to too. And I talked about it, about George McCaskey. And one of the things that, you know, listen, they've been under the gun throughout the years, the McCaskey family. And you know, look, Mike McCaskey is a guy that ultimately let Mike Ditka go. but George, Brian, Tim McCaskey, the other McCaskey brothers that we all worked with, Dan. And what George did tonight and reattached everything and took the effort to get Dicka back into the fold and do this tonight, that took a lot of work on his part. But here's the thing that is even more impressive. That sweater and that jersey were the jersey and sweater that he wore.
Yeah.
Now, think about that. That was something that is, you know, in the archives that would be, and he wanted to make sure that Dicka had that jersey, that game jersey. Mm. So that's pretty cool.
And now the big decision is, is it going to be hung at the downtown restaurant or the one in Oak Brook?
or the new jewelry.
Way to put it.
Italy. The new jewelry or his Dick kick-ass red wine that he sells, right? Whatever it is.
Have you ever seen Ditka's hair messed up? I saw it tonight at halftime. Have you ever seen it messed up?
Oh, yeah. Of course.
I mean, not fighting with other players.
Now, listen, the coach is a coach. He has that certain look and that certain walk and the certain everything. You know, his face has always been tanned since I could ever remember. I mean, the guy has the greatest tan in the world, does he not?
You know, I think it was 86 or 87. I can't remember. We went to Cincinnati, and the Bengals had a good team with Boomer. And they had went to a Super Bowl. And anyway, we were like 4-0, and they were 4-0, and we roll into, I think it's Riverfront. Is it Riverfront?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're in Cincinnati.
Back then it was, right?
Yeah. Anyway, it was AstroTurf, and it was about a 95-degree day. And they wet the field down trying to slow down the pass rush, you know. And we wound up killing them like 45-7 or something like that. And that's after the game. I don't even want to go into it. I was exhausted. But after I was like so slow getting to the locker room that I happened to witness that, hey, buddy, get your mouth shut, that deal.
Shut your mouth.
Dicka had an impromptu press conference right outside
the
line. Here's your IQ, buddy. I watched the whole thing. And if I would have been inside, I would have missed it all. My mouth was a gasp. I was like, here he is. And the guy says something. He goes, no, I'd rather talk to that guy. I know I'm smarter than he is. It was just priceless. To have that kind of spunk after, you know, a 3-hour plus 100-degree battle. They broke the mold with him.
Ditka's jersey retired tonight at halftime. Bears beat the Cowboys 45-21 at 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Bears win tonight. They beat the Cowboys 45-28 to improve the record to 7-6. Let's talk about the great of the game, brought to you by the attorneys at Horwitz, Horwitz and Associates. Kaz, we'll start with you.
Well, 141.9 quarterback rating. It's hard not to go with the kid, but I'm going to give it to we could give it to him every week. I'm going to go ahead and give it to Matt Forte.
Really?
Went over 100 yards tonight and made some nice plays throughout the game.
20 carries for 102 yards. Okay. Mm-hmm. Ham?
Bill Callahan, the offensive coordinator of the Cowboys. You know, I mean, what a goof. You know, you're averaging 7 yards and gutting us, and you quit running it? Thank you, Bill. You're the MVP of the night. No, you got to – how can you not give it to Josh McCown?
I'm just trying to find somebody new because I do it every week. I give it to
guys, you know, and it's easy. Well, okay, go back in your mind and look at DeMarcus Ware hiding on the sideline. Look at Tony Romo.
Oh, yeah.
Wanting to stay over by the. You know, when you're down, it's hard to see somebody be little Lord Fauntleroy and try to lead, you know. Well, guess what? The last 2 weeks, Josh McCown has been exemplary and played out of his mind. But tonight, in a winning fashion, he was even better than we've seen the last 2 weeks. And like I said, I've never seen anything like this. I've been around here a long time, over 30 years, and it's truly magnificent.
And I got to give Mark Trestman also the grade of the game. We underestimate what he has done offensively. And I know they've got weapons, but the way he attacks the game and the way he has set up the game where his quarterback is able to audible and have outs on every play where you could run or pass, that's pretty impressive in a short period of time. Normally you're talking about a 2-year period to put something like that together. He's done it over the course of 14 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is, you know, look, he doesn't get enough credit for that portion of as much as he got torched last week for the bad decision. And you know, look, the kicker still has to make the field goal, but it, you know, there's kind of a mindset to everything. I don't think he gets enough credit also for what he has done in a short period of time with an offense that, you know, didn't exist and now is one of the premier offenses in the NFL.
Well, we have some Mark Trestman from after the game.
A little bit of what I told the team. I was really proud of the way we came off of a very, very difficult loss last week in Minnesota on multiple levels. And I was very proud of our football team and some of the things they did throughout the week. We had a Christmas party, a holiday party on Monday night. You don't necessarily want to go to a holiday party after a loss like that, but we had a lot of guys show up, and a lot of people in the organization really appreciated that. Could have stayed home and felt sorry for themselves. They didn't. They could have stayed home for themselves and were sorry for themselves on Tuesday, but a bunch of guys on the team got on a bus to go down south to help some tornado victims. And I was very proud of our team for doing that, to not sit around on a day off and feel sorry for themselves, but go down and help others. And then they came back on Thursday. I think it was Wednesday, actually, that they went down south. But they came back on Thursday. They had smiles on their faces. They had coaches ready to give them game plans in detail. Nobody flinched. They didn't look around and point fingers. Coaches took accountability for their mistakes. Players took accountability for theirs as we looked at the tape and we moved forward. Had two great days of practice in the cold, which I think benefited us tonight, and came out and with a lot of hard work. As I told the guys, it doesn't guarantee, but every once in a while on a Monday night, you show up and you win a game, and I was really proud and happy for our team. Tonight, relative to the game was up and down. I thought the big change in the game came when our defense made a stop late in the second quarter, and then we were able to get Elshon the ball late in the half to score.
Okay, what'd you think of Mark Trestman?
Well, listen, he's never going to inspire anybody but the players in the locker room. But like I said, I made him great of the game because he's done a tremendous job from an offensive perspective, and a little hokey, but no, I'm just saying, you know, it is. But
he
it's
is
okay.
A little hokey.
Yeah, he, you know, look, it is what it is. He's never gonna, you know, he's never gonna get a crowd to go crazy. But he's a smart guy that when he puts it together, it looks good. Mm-hmm. So they did a great job, and hopefully in the next 3 weeks. He makes the right decisions as we move forward. I'm talking about from the standpoint of how you keep this team on the path. And, you know, you got to go 3-0 and hope for a little luck. That's what it comes down to.
All right, let's talk about the go to the game. Hamp, who's your go to the game, if there is one?
Well, it's got to be the defensive line. You know, when Julius Peppers, your highest paid player on the football team, does not hit the board as far as making a single tackle. He was a non-factor. Tony Romo was 11 of 20 tonight. He only completed 11 passes, but it's because they were completely out of sync and the receivers were not either open or they dropped it, but it wasn't because of pressure. And you know, throw Shea McClellan in, we have got to get better. And you say, well, what are you throwing Shea? Well, Shea McClellan is a first-round draft pick. You cannot thrive in this NFL if you cannot get the feeder groups year after year to blossom and become players. And beyond that, let's talk about the linebackers. You know, cause I know they're young, they're rookies. You know, Kasim Green,
Anderson's
and
not though. You know,
no,
so.
I'm really starting to question some of the coaching, and I'll tell you why. Now, you know what a white block is. That's where, imagine, folks, the guard is uncovered with the linebacker, you know, 4 yards off his nose, and at the snap of the ball, he doubles down on the nose. Well, that means, guess what? Somebody's coming, so the linebacker comes up. And the linebacker, almost unsuspecting, like my mother walking up there, not knowing that guard at the last second is going to turn and blast them. And they're completely caught off guard like they'd never seen it before. And I'm thinking, how many times can they do this without you realizing, you know, it's a white block. You've got to be able to force it quickly or be in a position to, when that guard turns, you unload on him and you take the initiative. But time after time, the Cowboys, they would run the white block, boom, pow, DeMarco Murray bust through there. Next thing you know, he's one-on-one with Chris Conte diving on the ground. It's not good.
Yeah,
it's not
good. And they take really poor angles to the ball.
Almost way too shallow.
Yeah, they get shallow, and they get they're clearly not reading, and they're on a draw. He took a horrible angle, or he got upfield or downfield too quickly, and he got washed. It just, you can't let that happen.
Exactly, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that they were the big man on campus in college, and they could run people down. Not here,
right?
Not here. Everybody has talent. Everybody can run, and you've got to learn to respect it.
Cause your goat.
And the bigger issue is inches. Footwork by inches are the difference between making a play. And I'm talking about inches now. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about feet. I'm talking about a couple inches out of your spot. And it's a big run, and they're gashing you. So it looks bad. I would say the goat of the game, if I could find one,
Let's say Podlish, the punter. The bum never got on the field. What's wrong with him?
You know what?
Yeah, what is wrong with him?
He's the goat of the game because he never got to punt tonight. Look, it's hard to find a goat when your offense never punts the ball. And your defense, they gave up a lot of yards, but they kept him out of the end zone. And you know, when it's all said and done, that's what you got to do. You got to make stops. And they got off the field on third down, and they made plays on third down. And, you know, Callahan probably was our MVP for our defense, too, because it just didn't make sense what he did. But, hey, it worked.
Well, the Cowboys were 5 of 10 on third down, 50%, way too much. But the Bears tonight, 8 out of 11, 73%. I have never seen the Bears convert that many that well on third down.
And
that's amazing.
And they were perfect tonight on 7 yards and beyond. Remember, you gave the stat last week, they were 0-32.
Right.
This week they were, I want to say, 3 for 3 or 4 for 4 on plus 7 yard conversions on third down.
The
they were big
the,
third down.
The 3rd and 14 to Brandon Marshall on the second drive,
right.
And he runs that turnaround out and gets 15. And again, back to Trestman. And, you know, a lot of people, 3rd and 14, well, we don't have a play for that.
Well, he apparently
nonsense.
Does.
Yes.
He did.
This guy's got one. Yeah. Second, you know, field goals on second down, we got that too.
All right, I got to take a quick break. Bears beat the Cowboys 45-28 at 720 WGN.